are now tuned in to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Culture Zine Radio. Welcome to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. Tonight we have a very, very, very special guest, legendary Miss Ann Nesby. You guys know her from Sounds of Blackness. I mean, she's written for almost anybody you can name, including big hits with Al Green, Put It On Paper. How you doing? Let's get this going. While we wait for Miss Nesby to call in, we're going to...
This is Chris Jasper, and you're listening to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Welcome back to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. I want you to check this out. This is where Miss Ann Nesby came from, so you guys understand who she is. Please feel free to call in. The number is 646-668-8287.
The blackness. Keep on.
Welcome back to Culture Zine Radio. Welcome back to Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. We have an amazing guest, maybe one of the best vocalists of our time, Miss Ann Nesby. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and how are you, Shaquille?
I'm blessed. That song right there, I have to ask you a question, and I've always wanted to know this. How did Jimmy Jam find you guys' group?
Well, actually, Sounds of Blackness was originally a student union choir on a predominantly white campus in St. Paul, Minnesota, McAllister College. And the Black Student Union Choir was founded by Russell Knighton, and Gary Hines, the director, was a student there. And Minneapolis, the ratio of African Americans was so low that Black Student Union became a social kind of choir, and it began to grow so much that they were kind of the hangout spot for African Americans that loved the African American music, and they appreciate the African art. And Gary Hines was an African American studies major, so when people start to graduate from college, they still wanted to be a part, so they moved it to a community center called Sebastiany. And the group began to grow, and they would do the neighborhood band quiz, and Flight Time would be the after party, and Sounds of Blackness would be the opening group. And the long history of the group and the friendship just began to grow. And when Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis decided to do their label, they were already familiar with Sounds of Blackness, because Sounds of Blackness was usually the big sound and the choir sound behind all their major artists that they were producing. So thus they had already become a family. And when they decided to do Perspective Records with A&M, they decided to do the whole African-American scene with Sounds of Blackness, and to be able to honor the whole idiom of African-American music, and Sounds of Blackness was the key. After Janet Jackson came and saw them while she was recording, and she kind of urged them to do Sounds of Blackness, because it was something that was fresh and something that was different from what was out.
That was an amazing group. And I mean, you know, everybody is a fan. I haven't ran into anybody who's not a fan of Ann Nesby. From all different ranges and colors and creeds and religions. So I'm very blessed that you allowed us to have you on this. And I want to wish you, you know, a belated happy anniversary. I mean, I talked to your husband, Tim. And
yes,
when we were setting this
so
up,
much.
He was like, no, we got to do this on that day because it's my anniversary. So.
Well, this is great. This is great. And I really appreciate the fact that young people still understand optimistic and the movement of Sounds of Blackness, a group that unapologetically really kind of reclaimed the music of a people, and was able to not just pigeonhole ourselves, but to be able to do the whole idiom of African-American music, and kind of take it to an educational point, whereas we toured colleges, and we were also able to do Smithsonian and do all types of things where we were able to discuss and talk about the way that our music has been reclaimed by other people and talked about. But all the music that you hear, you always hear the West African polyrhythm flowing through it. So being a part of a group like Sounds of Blackness was an honor to me as well, coming in And the group had already was celebrating actually their 20th anniversary with the release of their first national project with Optimistic.
You guys were an amazing group. And you went on to have outstanding, amazing career. And I'm glad that, you, like a lot of great vocalists, you know, come from the church, but you guys, you switched from just gospel to doing rhythm and blues and gospel, which that's great company that you're in with that voice. That's of our generation, maybe one of the best we've heard.
Yeah,
I think
you
before,
so
you know, you come into, you know, certain names come to mind when you mention Aaron Nesbitt, from Shirley Caesar all the way up to Aretha and Patti, and that's a very short list when you think about that voice. I hear you got some new stuff coming. You know, I like a couple of your other cuts that you did a lot. I love the single that your husband sent me. We're going to play that later. But I really love this song that you did called Remember. And I really
Remember,
love the song.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can you tell
us,
you know, a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. On my last project, I did Living My Life, and I was able to work with Kendrick Dean, and this was one of the singles that we released, and it was really a great opportunity to work with such a youthful producer, because in the industry you don't want to try to force yourself into a sound or any type of music that will be too youthful for you, you know, but you want to keep reinventing yourself and keeping the music youthful enough and keep the music evolving and keep your message. So Remember was one of those songs where, you know, in relationship, you always think about the fact that when you have hard times, sometimes you want to give it up, but when you can look back and reflect on the things that you loved about that individual and the things that made you love that person in the first place, and you realize that you're able to work through everything, being able to work with Kendrick Dean to pull that together, Kenny and Dixon, Asilani Elliott. It was an honor because I got a chance to pick the brain of young producers, and I enjoy that, not only working with the younger generation, but being able to hire and network and just be a part and be around just to know that they care enough and understand who Ann Nesby is as an individual enough to want to work with me, so I was really honored on this project with Look Back and Remember.
We're going to definitely get into Remember. Remember, you're watching Culture Zine Radio Network, where Urban Culture Lives. When we come back, we're going to really get into this new project with Ann and what Ann's been up to and all these wonderful things while she blesses us with this track that we're getting ready to play.
Back and remember.
Welcome back, Coach Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. We're with Ms. Ann Nesby. How you doing, sister?
I have a question for you.
This is on your new label, right?
Yes, it is.
Your new project is on your label. What's the name of your label?
It's Time Child Records, and my husband and I work this project along with the other label that we had been a part of, and
Arrow Records.
And we did this whole project, and Living My Life was a concept of coming full circle and having been a part of Sounds of Blackness, and then being a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother. And
you've been blessed.
Absolutely. And being able to have a family working right along with me. My daughter was in Sounds of Blackness with me. And
wow.
Living My Life was a concept of still working and still being able to have family and family working together. So this whole entire project is relationship and family.
That's a blessing, and a true blessing at that.
Thank you.
You've been doing a lot of stuff on the road, right?
Absolutely. Actually, we've been doing, we did a short film called Noah. It's about the consequence of Katrina and the way life was before.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a short film coming soon. And, of course, we've been working I just did a remake of Optimistic with Tribe Records, a company out of London.
Okay.
That should be released in September. And working an EP of house music that I'm going to be releasing September 8th online. So we've been quite busy.
We're going to get you to come back and do the house music track, right? We're going to get you to come back
and
do some of that.
I love that.
I have a question.
And the project
now
that
I'm
working. Yes.
Now that you're running you guys on label, give us some insight on how that's working for you guys. It's a whole different bag when you're the marketing team and you're the producers and the promoters. From an independent perspective, tell me how you like that.
Well, I tell you one thing, it makes you prove that you want to be in this industry because you know that nobody's going to do it for you, and you got to hustle, and and you come out of your own pocket, whereas you would have another label that is, say, gambling on you and gambling with their money for you. This is your
Correct.
Money that you're putting up, and you have to be able to deliver. You have to be able to deal with your relationships from your past. So I always say to young people, you be careful how you hold on to your relationships and how you treat people coming up, because people change positions very, very fast, and it doesn't cost you anything to be nice, because relationships are very important in this business. And running your own label, you practically have to do that in this day and age, because the industry has changed so much. You practically run your own label. If you're getting a deal in this day and age, you have to already create your own buzz. You have to create your own image. It's not like it was in Motown and Sax era, where they built a career for you or created an image for you or did that first single, and if it didn't work, that they worked you until something hit. You better be ready on that first drop and know that if not, that's your money that's going down the drain. So it's hard work.
Yeah,
and you have to know what you're doing, and your business has to be on point. 80% business and 20% talent almost.
Say that again, please, sister.
80%.
I have an independent label, so I feel you.
No games to play.
See, because a lot of these young kids don't understand this. The artist A&R department is there's no more artist development. There's no structure. There's no Berry Gordy willing to wait 2 years and work the Temptations records and keep you on the label. You don't.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't have a hit the first drop, you're out the door. As Smokey Robinson is saying, you have a great learning experience. This is reality. I have an independent label, so I understand.
Yes.
And one of the reasons that I'm doing this show is because I've got over 30 plus years in this industry. From I don't know. I guess I feel like Al Davis. I've had every job in the record industry. But
awesome.
There's
awesome.
A lot of information that these kids don't get, and a lot of them think that once they drop the record, they're a star.
Yeah.
And I go, you guys don't really understand the work it takes to even get local video and radio stations to play your material. This is
absolutely
a business.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted to talk to you about that.
Well, and the main thing is if you're going to do this, you've got to be faithful to your craft. And as they say, this separates the girls from the women. And men from the boys, because you have to pull your pants up if you're going to step up and say you're going to do your own thing, because you got to take care of your household and you have to take care of your business. So, you can't come in there playing. And that involves getting a good education and getting surrounded with people that know what they're doing. Getting a good attorney, good accountant.
Say that again. say that part again. Good attorneys, good accountants, managers that you can trust.
Trust,
and
absolutely.
And can you explain to them how important, because you've written some great records, two-prong situation, how important it is to understand your publishing and your songwriting. Can you please explain that from a very successful award-winning songwriter? Please explain that.
Well, I one thing that I credit Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis with as a writer on Flight Time staff writer, they allowed me an opportunity to be able to write for Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight. And as an artist, I think I had the best of both worlds with them, because they were once artists themselves. Prolific writer producers, and they always preached the importance of owning your publishing and knowing that publishing is your lifeblood, and realizing that looking back over history, that was some of the problems with pioneer artists, that they were cheated out of their publishing, and other people's children are living off of their publishing, realizing that this is your lifeline, holding on to your publishing so that you can take care of yourself and have collateral to go to that next project, to be able to use that money to continue to build your own career. Because people think that once you get that hit record, that everything's okay. And then you jump out here, you buy this dream house, the dream car, but you don't realize that you got dream bills that go along with that. And if you're going to be a sincere artist, you're going to have to invest in that sophomore project. So you have to really, really think about writing your own material and understand when you go into the studio and make it plain, okay, if you're writing with someone else, what portion of that is your publishing, and how to deal with all those aspects of your music, not just jump in there because you love to sing and be taken. So it's very important.
With that, we're going to go into a song that you wrote with Al. A lot of people don't really know that you were a big writer before this. This is Put It On Paper. When we get back, we're going to definitely get back in Ann Nesby's new record, her new sounds, new stuff getting ready to go happen. So as you remember, we're going to put this out, and this is Put It On Paper, Al Green and Ann Nesby.
Oh,
How did that come about?
That project was doubted, and people said it would never happen. And Al Green came to town. My husband started making calls to my manager, Mr. Timothy Lee, is how that came about. And we wrote the song. I wrote the song along with Michael and Herb Middleton. And we got the song to Herb. That's my guy. And we finally got Reverend Al Green to listen to the song and realize that it was biblically based. And once he heard the song, he was ready. He was ready to go. We didn't have a problem at all, and everybody was really shocked because they said he hadn't done a duet since Lyle.
Right.
I can't think of his name right now, but Lyle Lovett. And they said, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. And he heard it, and his people said, okay, well, you can pick him up at the airport, and he's ready, and we're ready. And we were in Philly. I was working with Tyler Perry at the time, and my girlfriend, Deanna Williams, set up the recording at Philly International. So this song has so much history. She set the recording up with Gamble and Huff. We went in. Kenny Gamble was there, and he was listening to the recording. He said, yeah, this right here is a hit. And Reverend Green, I mean, I never worked with a more professional artist. He came in, and in the recording, it was like he was on stage. He was so serious and right to the point, and he knew exactly what he wanted. He went in, he laid it straight down, and I went in, and we sang it down together. And the talking that you hear at the beginning of the record, there's talking at the beginning on the project where he's talking about the principle of the song, about the marriage bed. And we were recording the session, and we picked that part up. He said, yeah, I like that. He said, yeah, let's do this right now. We recorded it, and next thing you know, I was on tour with Al Green, coming in the middle of his show singing Put It On Paper, and the rest was history.
Oh, and that classic white suit I saw in the video?
That the Put It On Paper, yeah.
I told your husband I was a fan. So.
It was the hey. I'm telling you, it's once in a lifetime you get a chance to tour with the Reverend Al Green and see him operate, and to record in the studio is definitely a lifetime dream for me.
That song actually, no disrespect to Al Green, brought him back to a radio situation that he still talks about to this day.
It was really great, you know, to be able to work with him and to see him come back to the adult contemporary audience the way he did, because when we went to see him here in Atlanta, when we were, you know, discussing the song and everything, we were really shocked when we walked into, he gave us tickets to come to the show, you know, and it was at the Tabernacle downtown Atlanta. And when we came in the atmosphere, it was basically more college students, young white college students, who'd grown up listening to Al Green. And, you know, of course, the brothers and sisters were sprinkled in there that loved Al Green and that were loyal followers. But when we started touring with this song, we saw the pickup, and we were pleasantly delighted and grateful that we were able to hear more and more Al Green.
Well, you know, you had a big shot in that. I know Al was very appreciative. I talked to his people about it. They were very appreciative about that. And I mean, you know, you have to give props for props. As Al would say, you have to give props to people who deserve it. You got to give it to them. I know that you got this new project. What's the new album coming out? I know you got a couple songs. We're gonna play one of your new songs coming out. We're gonna introduce it tonight. I'm not ready to play that yet. I'm not ready to let you go. I can't play that yet. Can you tell me about this song "With You" that you did on your last project?
What is it? I beg your pardon.
The "With You" prop song that you did.
With You. This project was all about relationships and knowing that when you're in a situation with someone that you really care about, you have to really entrust that things could be worse. But when you get with that special somebody, you have to know that you definitely want to be there. So that's what this project was all about.
Is that the new project? And I know the last one's Living My Life. The new project is With You on the new project, or is it on the Living My Life album?
With You is on the last project.
Okay. So which would you want me to play? Ladies' choice. Living My Life or With You?
With You?
You want me to play With You?
Turn Up
actually is the song that you probably should play.
You want me to play? I was going to play that at the end so you can get all the glory of the new record. It's the one we want to introduce. I'm not ready to let you go yet. Sorry. I got to stress this out. I ain't ready to let you go yet. Okay, so I'm going to play Living My Life, and then we're going to get into Turn Up, and no, I really want to push that. I told you I wasn't ready to let you go, so.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
You can't change, and there will be good days and bad days.
This is Culturezine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. We are with Miss Ann Nesby. That is a gorgeous song.
Well, thank
you. Let's get into this new album that you got and the things that you're doing. You know, we've talked about what the label is. Let's talk about the vision that you had when you started putting this record together.
Well, the vision that we had, we wanted to be able to allow people that were music lovers to enjoy the music and to be able to bring quality music, to be able to keep the message, the good, the feel-good music, and music that elevates our thinking and encourages the heart and uplifts the spirit. So in doing that, this new project, the House of Miss Ann.
That's the name of it?
Miss Ann's House, actually.
The
music that I love, coming from the Chicago area. I was born in Joliet, but right in the middle of the house era in Chicago. So doing this EP is just, another part of my love for a vast genre of music, and being able to do this and working on a project with my daughter and my granddaughter. I just felt like that it would be a phenomenal piece, in that I can't really remember a generation of three singers in the family. I know there were sisters and of course mother and daughter, but not the granddaughter and the mother and the daughter. So my daughter sang with me on Optimistic, but this time around we have a whole third generation, so we called it the G3. And this song that we're doing on this project that we're doing, it's really dear to my heart, and I wanted people to understand the value of family, the strength of family, and just enjoy good music and relationships.
Okay. So you're talking about that era. You come from the Colonel Abrams, DJ Pink House era.
Absolutely. I was a Steve Silk Hurley fan and all.
Pink House took me around Chicago when I was about 18 or 19, showed me Chicago, real Chicago, so I'm very appreciative.
Absolutely. The song that you just played, Living My Life, it was written by Kendrick Dean, but it was remixed by Terry Hunter, who's one of my dear friends from Chicago and one of the greats in the house music
Chicago
community.
House DJ. Big boy. Who did it, Gene Hunt?
Terry Hunter.
Did you say Gene Hunt? Okay. That's a beautiful thing. So what brought about the song Turn Up? What made you come up with that song?
Turn Up is a song that we were relating to the music and turning up our focus on our music and enjoying ourselves doing our music and being able to relax and let go and enjoy the rich heritage of our music and appreciate it.
Well, you know, with all that being said, and I know you do some acting, and I know you do a lot of acting, and I'm hoping that you got some new projects coming out that we can definitely look into. Before we get into this song, what are the new things that you got going for you that you want to definitely promote and push and tell people how to get a hold of you and how to purchase your product?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, I'm on Amazon, and you can get me in the stores, Walmart. I'm at Twitter. At Ann Nesby, Facebook. Of course, like I said, the new project that's coming out September 8th online. And Of course, I just released a new project with Tribe Records, the remake of Optimistic, and the G3 project with my daughter and my granddaughter, Jamecia and Paris Bennett.
Okay. Is there a website?
Ann Nesby.
You can
always reach me at Ann Nesby, www.annesby.com. All day.
What about an email, your fans to hit you up and tell you how appreciative you are? Any of that? You got any other information you want to give out before we drop this amazing
song?
At
Ann Nesby. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, always available, all social media.
With that, I want you to introduce this song. This is going to be it for us. What a beautiful blessing and evening with Ms. Ann Nesby. Hopefully you'll come back and we can do the new record that you drop, and we can do the whole album, and maybe we can have the family on, and we can definitely try to promote things with you.
I look forward to that, and I definitely look forward to being on the line with you with Culture Zine, with my granddaughter and my daughter, which will be making real history.
That's true.
Because we know that this is where urban music lives at Culture Zine.
We're trying to bring back that real stuff.
Yes.
This is Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. This is Ann Nesby's new single. I don't know if we're the first one to premiere, but it's the first one for us. We're very appreciative. It's called Turn Up. Y'all have a good night, and remember, he may not come when you call, but he's always on time.
Always on time.
Thank you.